Imagine that you're a child and your parents are in the military. You move often, you move to different schools, you don't know how long you're going to be in those schools, and you really have different issues, which is why I want to introduce you to Shelley Joan Weiss. She's Wisconsin Commissioner for the Education of Military Children. Shelley, welcome to Wisconsin Eye.
Thank you, Stephen. I'm glad to be here.
I'm fascinated by your background. Your father was in the Army.
Yes.
And
yes.
So were you?
No, I was in the Air Force.
You were in the
My
Air Force.
My father was in the Army, yes.
Okay, so. What I'm trying to get to is how did you get to this very unique job?
Well, I think it was, first of all, for me, I feel very fortunate to be the commissioner. I'm the first and the only commissioner Wisconsin has had. We became part of the Interstate Compact in 2010. And I have done a lot of work over the years educationally with the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction. And part of our state superintendent's responsibility, Tony Evers, mm-hmm. is to appoint the commissioner for this position.
Okay.
I work very closely with the DPI, but I also work with the legislature, military and military families, educational organizations, and different school districts. And so Tony knew that I had good contacts with education, and he had some knowledge of my military background also, because he's been invited to a lot of events that I had at my school when I was in Wanakee. And so when this position opened up, he brought me in and interviewed me to see if I would be the right fit for the position. And I'm very thankful that I'm the one that got it, because I was able to bring my military background,
yes.
31 years.
You were 31 years,
yes.
with the...
I was with the Wisconsin Air National Guard,
okay.
and I was with the United States Air Force Reserve. And so I was able to bring that along with my educational background. And so it seemed to be the perfect fit.
Were you teaching in the Wanakee schools?
I was a principal.
You were a principal?
I'm very proud of the work we did. And when I was the principal at the Wanakee Community Middle School, we were the Wisconsin Middle School of Excellence. And we have had several Teachers of the Year and several COLA Award winners, so it was a great position to be in.
You're also very qualified because, as you said, your father was in
yes.
the Army. For,
yes.
For how long?
He did a career in the Army, too, and we landed in Wisconsin. It was sort of one of the places he wanted to end up because he wanted to end his career with the very famous 32nd Brigade at that time. And so that's what really brought us to Wisconsin. And I was very fortunate as a child. We traveled all over. We traveled primarily in the United States. Some families, of course, go overseas and spend time in very interesting places. But we spent all of our time traveling in the United States. I'm originally from South Dakota. That's where I was born. And so when I was a child, we started moving with my father. And I was one of those children that loved it. There were challenges mm-hmm. in education that at some point, if you want to hear about them,
oh,
I'll
yeah.
tell you.
We're going to talk
yeah.
about those here
but,
in a little bit.
But I really appreciated having that opportunity. And of course, it obviously was a big influence on me because, well, me and my family, because my sister and I both went into the military.
That's fascinating. Well, among all the stuff that you sent me, is this very revealing stat that I didn't know. Most military children attend 6 to 9 different school systems during their PK through 12th grade career and will transition more than twice during their high school years.
Mm-hmm.
6 to 9 times
mm-hmm.
military children
yeah.
will move?
And I would say for now, that's probably closer to accurate. Back in the olden days when we were moving, it was more frequent than that. But yes, many, many, many children do, and multiple times during the year. One of the families that I worked with here in Wisconsin have moved in and out of Wisconsin 3 times just since the time I've been doing this and gone to places like Texas and then back, and then their families may have gone overseas and back. And so, yes, it's very frequent. And sometimes they land back in the same place. Maybe they might end up in DeForest. But at other times, they might be in DeForest during one of those moves. Then they might be in Toma. They might end up in La Crosse. So they may not always end up back in even the same school district.
How many times did you move?
Oh, gosh. My mom and I always try to remember that. It was a lot. And especially during the years between second grade and eighth grade, it was a lot of times through a lot of different states. So, and if I could tell you some of the challenges we faced, I personally, and I'm pretty strong, and I'm an educator too, so I'm used to standing up for myself.
Former principal, yes.
But yes, as a child, it was interesting because I remember not just once, but repeatedly coming into schools, and we may be studying something. A good example might be a state capitol or Yellowstone or something along that line, and teachers would be very nice, but they would say to me that, you know, oh, you'll probably never catch up on this because we've been studying about this and you just arrived. And I would kind of go, but I've been there. One of the things that was a real benefit for me as a military child and that my parents, my mother and father, Willard and Jean, really made an effort to make sure we did is we visited all of the places along the way when we were moving between places or when we were stationed in different places. So if we were studying about a state capital, I've been to all the state capitals except Alaska. And so, and my parents have been there, I just wasn't. But I would know about that capital, and I'd know a lot about the Capitol building and about the history. And teachers would kind of shake their head and say, but you haven't been with us and you haven't learned this. And so I brought personal experience, but at that time, it wasn't valued as much as it probably is today. And that's just one example. One of the situations I'm dealing with right now is a student who was here. She was going to school in Kenosha. She progressed very, very well in Kenosha. She has now moved to another state who is a member of the Compact, and she should be in her senior year. And because that state has different graduation requirements, they have put her back to be a junior.
Oh my.
And so I'm working very closely with the commissioner from that state,
yes,
the school liaison officer, and they in turn are working with the school district where she's attending. But she would probably be a pretty typical example. Another example, we're very fortunate in Wisconsin because our educational laws have been very progressive. So we have not run into the road bumps with children moving in.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also very fortunate. We have such a powerful advocate in Tony Evers. He has been right on the forefront advocating for military children from forever. And so that's been wonderful. And we have wonderful organizations like OSSA and WASDA that work with principals and superintendents, and they have been on the forefront. And one of the things that we have a real advantage is that combination of laws, an outstanding superintendent, excellent district superintendents and administrators, counselors and educators, that typically children coming in do not have many issues. But I'll give you an example. We have 4K kindergarten.
Yes.
So people moving in with a child who's 4 years old, they can put them into kindergarten.
Yes.
But there are many states that do not have 4K. And up until just recently, we would have an issue where your child now, who started 4K, goes to another state, and the other state says your child can't be in kindergarten because they're not old enough.
And that child would have already started.
They would have already
4K.
Started. One of the things the Compact does, it levels out that playing field so that if your child already is enrolled, they can come into a 4K. Now, we've got a real benefit. If you were in another state where your child couldn't start 4K, but they came here, they can start 4K.
Now, you work with children of those that are on active duty as well as that are in the National Guard, correct?
Yes, yes. The rules are that any child of any active duty member, and that's one thing people in Wisconsin are often amazed by. People who are in the military aren't amazed by it, but many civilians are amazed. We have a very large and very active military population. People tend to forget that we have two of the largest inland seas,
mm-hmm,
right here bordering Wisconsin. And that takes a lot of military members to protect those, you know, Lake Superior and Lake Michigan. So that alone. Plus, we have Fort McCoy. And Fort McCoy is one of the largest training centers in Middle America. And people sometimes don't realize it because It sort of sits in its own area, and yes. It's well protected, so they don't know that. We also have a wonderful location at Volk Field, where it's also a very well-known national training center, actually an international training center. People come in from all over the world to train at Volk Field with our units, and sometimes people don't recognize that. Anyway, we work with any active duty, the children of any active duty member, okay. Plus we work with the children of National Guard members who are on active duty orders, and we have a lot of those. Now, I will tell you, too, no matter what, because we've got such a great situation in Wisconsin, General Dunbar, who is our adjutant general, works very closely with us, along with Tony. We will reach out and support National Guard families as much as possible, even if they're not on active duty. So that's been very
What's
nice.
What's your estimate of the number of children in Wisconsin who have parents who are in the military?
Gosh.
Ballpark?
I'm going to underestimate it.
Okay.
I know low I'm going to underestimate it. I would say lowball, we're probably talking between probably 10 and 20,000.
10 and 20,000.
Yes. And I know my numbers aren't accurate. I'll tell you one of the reasons they aren't accurate. One thing that we have not adopted in the state of Wisconsin is a database to track who are children of military families. It's something that we're working on nationally, and it's something that Tony and I have had conversations about, but it's something that we have not done in Wisconsin. And it's very difficult to track those numbers, because the only place you can get them really is through the active duty military.
Mm-hmm.
And they change all the time. So I apologize for not having those.
That's
numbers.
Okay. But some of the data that you sent me, it's really interesting. Let's talk about some of the issues faced by children mm-hmm. with parents in the military. Transfer of records.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you kind of alluded to that, but go ahead. Expand on that a little bit.
I just dealt with this one. So what a great question to start off with is that when a child moves from one school to another school, they must have an official set of records sent. In other words, if you're going to move to Waukesha,
mm-hmm.
I can't just hand you your child's record and hope that you get them there. What I have to do as a school administrator and as a district, I have to officially transfer those from our registrar to their registrar,
yes.
So that those records stay intact. Now, if you were in my district and you came and said, I'm moving, I'd like my kids' records, what I would do right away for you is I'd make a copy for you. And I'd say, here's a copy, you can take this, that type of a thing. One of the things that this does is, first of all, it requires districts to provide that copy parents can take, yes. And it also requires that any school that they're going to acknowledge and accept those records. For example, way back in the olden days, long before this, we had a situation between my district and another state, and the other state did not want to accept the child's record because there was some glitch that they officially didn't want to take that child's records. This has removed those glitches for military children.
Okay.
And I will tell you one of the benefits. One of the benefits is, even if your child is not in the military, this now has kind of rollover so that people now have practiced this. But now if you came in and said, I'm deploying tomorrow, my family is going to be moving in with my mother mm-hmm. in Waukesha. Mm-hmm. I need a copy of my child's records. You'll have them like that. If you're moving and you're going to be going to Fort Bliss, you'll have your records immediately, a copy of your records. And the other school where your child is going into has to accept those records.
Okay. And another issue that you kind of alluded to, different states have different academic standards to graduate.
Mm-hmm.
This one example that you just gave, you had a young woman who was in her senior year. She moved to what state?
Well, I don't really want to say.
That's okay.
But she's moved to another state to an active duty base.
And she's been moved from a senior to back to junior.
To junior, yes.
That must be pretty hard. She's looking forward to graduating, maybe
yes.
going on to
yes, exactly.
college.
And you know, there are multipliers in each one of these. Let's go back to the first one, then I'll go right to the second one. The multiplier of the first one. So here you are. You show up in Waukesha, you know, and you want your child to get in school. And,
yeah.
you know, somebody at Waukesha says, oh, we don't have official records. Well, it wouldn't happen in the state of Wisconsin, first of all, because we've got great relationships with all the districts. But if you move to another state, Texas, Florida, whatever, and that state said, oh, we can't put your child in school yet, we don't have official records. Now think of your child sitting around, you know, waiting
school
to get
started
into school.
His or her peers are
that,
in school.
Right. Friends is a huge issue. Now let's go to the one that you're talking about. My student that I'm working with right now, where they have put her back as a junior. Part of it is the social-emotional issue.
Yes.
She's feeling like, what is wrong with me? Everything that's been communicated from her home school district is she progressed very well. She progressed successfully and satisfactorily. And now all of a sudden she's getting the message that somehow she hasn't demonstrated the proficiency because there's a different requirement in a different state.
Okay.
And in reality, by law, they cannot do that. That state or that school district can't do that. It cannot do that. And so thank goodness we've got good people in that state that are working on her.
One other issue that you're that this highlights, extracurricular activities.
Yes.
Are we talking banned all the way to playing football?
Yes,
and everything?
Yes, and let me talk about that, because that is, that especially in some states, particularly in a part of our country that co-curriculars, mm-hmm. like football, are highly, highly, highly valued. That can be a very big issue. Right now, the folks at the National Commission at MIC3, they are working with the National Association of Interscholastic Athletics. I've been very, very fortunate. I served in two different capacities with the WIAA, the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association. And the man who runs it right now, Dave Anderson, is, I would say, first of all, he is a good, good friend to the military and a good friend to me. And one of the things is that he's worked with us to try to reduce as many barriers that might exist. So that kids who come in and want to maybe get into athletics mm-hmm. have an opportunity to get into athletics. I have to tell you kind of a funny story. Oftentimes when I am, not oftentimes, sometimes, when I'm working with a district and a child has moved in, and they've moved in still a good time frame where they want to try out for something, and oftentimes it's somebody who is not knowledgeable. You know, they're the person answering the phone. They'll say, oh no, we can't let this child try out because WIAA says they can't. And typically I'll say, well, let me have somebody else get back to you. And I'll call Dave and I'll say, Dave, and he'll say, no, it is not. It's a local rule that has possibly interfered. And typically when I get him involved, that disappears. Now, I will tell you something. Our compact does not have any kind of teeth with something like WIA, because it is an association mm-hmm. that schools join. Mm-hmm. It is not a governmental body,
right.
So it doesn't fall under this. We've just been really, really fortunate to have wonderful athletic directors and to have a great organization in our state that's really helping us. The other thing I want to mention is we want to give no one an unfair advantage. The compact is not in place to give you, because you're a military child moving in and you want to do this, it does not give you an unfair advantage. It gives you an equal opportunity with other kids. Does that make sense?
Yes. And another very interesting thing listed on some of the items that you gave me, the power of custodial parents while parents are deployed. Now, you could have one parent deployed, you could have two parents deployed.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And what a wrenching thing that could be if both parents are deployed and they have to go live with a sibling, an aunt, an uncle, or a grandparent.
Yep. And we deal with this more frequently than people would ever imagine. For me, this is very personal. My younger sister was in the military before I was, and she actually had two children, and she was a single parent. And I was the individual that was cited to be the person who would be the guardian of her children when she was deployed. Mm-hmm. And in the military, we constantly update our paperwork to make sure all of that information is very accurate so that we know who's going to be taking care of our family members. I will tell you when we had the biggest surge of this in Wisconsin, and it's going to sound so far-fetched, so bear with me. When the tsunami hit Japan a couple of years ago, all families of military members were moved out. and the military member may have been moved to another base. And it could have been in that area, it could have been to Korea or Thailand or Germany or whatever. But the families of the military members had to come back to the United States. And in that case, many of those children came back. Some of them came back because they may have lived with a single parent, or both their parents were military members. So they came back to live with grandma,
yep.
They came back to live with an aunt,
sure.
They came back to live with an uncle, whatever. We had a lot of families during that time that came back to Wisconsin. And it created some really interesting dynamics that I really had to work very closely with the Department of Public Instruction and with the districts on, because sometimes a family may have had a history in one district, but their relative that they were living in lived in a neighboring district. And the children wanted to be back in the district where, you know, they had kind of known,
mm-hmm.
and yet they really needed to be with the guardian. So that was an exciting learning experience.
Well, Shelley, since you've been doing this since 2010, answer this question. Do boys or girls generally have the most problems?
Oh, gosh. That's such an individual question, and
okay.
I would say it's very, very closely related to the type of family and community support they have.
Okay.
It depends on the school support they have.
Okay.
I could not say that there's one more or less. One of the things is that we see the typical challenges that face all children as they move through the developmental stages.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things, the issues that I've brought up a great deal at the Compact, is that we tended to focus typically on the two ends of the spectrum. Let's talk about the little kids entering school,
yes.
and let's talk about the juniors and seniors exiting
high school.
And here was the group, anywhere from fourth grade to 11th grade, that really were the ones that, you know, they're the ones that are really going through all the developmental issues.
Yes.
And we weren't spending enough time really looking at that. So we have really broadened our perspective to look at how do we support everyone and help everyone.
Well, you kind of answered it, but just to be sure, do middle and high school students, children with parents in the military, are they prone to having the most issues? As opposed to elementary?
I would say yes, yeah. Elementary children tend to be still pretty flexible,
mm-hmm.
and they bounce back pretty fast. Those years when kids are making their very, very close emotional, you know, situations, and they're falling in love and out of love, etc.
Hormones are active.
Exactly. So the ages probably 10 to 17.
Okay.
Are probably some of the most challenging. Even when kids start to get into that more independent age, they've got their driver's license, for example. That's a whole other issue if you're coming from another country, too.
That's true.
But when they get past that age and they're now future-focused, then they can deal with issues and they understand them better, too, because they've had more years of experience. The little kids, even if it's time to go live with grandma or with your aunt, some of them find that very exciting.
They're more willing,
you know,
to accept
exactly.
That. Right.
But you get in those years where you know, all the change is happening anyway, and that can be a bit of a struggle.
Well, do children whose parents are in the military, do they have slightly higher dropout rates? Do they graduate at the same percentage as other Wisconsin high school students?
You know, there just was a study that was put out. And I actually communicated quite a bit with a man that I just admire and respect so much. His name is David Splittick, and he's with the Military Child Education Coalition. And although he's based in Texas, his family's from Stoughton. And he has been a wonderful resource. And a study was just released that kind of got a splash. It was in California. It was a relatively narrow group, even though the military population in California is large.
Mm-hmm.
But they found in that population that those children of military families are at higher risk for everything that you can name that's at risk. So dropping out, smoking, drugs and
discipline
alcohol.
Discipline problems?
Yes, exactly.
Drugs and alcohol? Yeah. Higher risk.
Yes.
That was a national study. That's not a Wisconsin study.
No, I'd be cautious of saying it's a national study.
Okay.
It was done California by a university in California on children of military families in California.
Do they tend to go to colleges and universities or tech colleges less than other Wisconsin high school graduates? What do you think?
I do not think that there's been a study done on that, so I think that I'd be shooting from the hip, and I prefer not to do that.
Okay.
And I would say, too, one of the things that in Wisconsin that's been a real advantage, again, is that we have an educational system that has been had very open arms to military children and military families.
Mm-hmm.
I think every state probably thinks this. I guess I've just seen it come to life. Wisconsin has a very strong ethic of honoring military members and veterans. And so that's been very beneficial because it does permeate the school districts. You can hardly go into a school district in Wisconsin where either one of the teachers, the staff, or the administration, they're either a current member of the military, or they have been, or they come from a military family. And so we've been very, very fortunate.
If there are 10,000 to 20,000 in Wisconsin, and I realize that's just
your guesstimate,
well, how do you get involved with specific children? In other words, how do districts know, are they told this is a child whose parents are in the military? And if there's a problem, does it come to your desk? Or
yeah.
Do you work in training our 424 school districts?
Yeah, Stephen, that's a great question. First of all, that's one of the reasons that a database would be very helpful. And
there
we don't
one?
Have that. Not in our state, we don't. And that is just coming on board in a couple of states.
Okay.
I was just, Wisconsin just hosted just the most wonderful conference. It was the Interstate Compact on Juvenile Justice. And I have two friends actually, Gary Hartman and Rick Masters. And Rick Masters is our legal counsel. And Gary Hartman is legal counsel out in Wyoming, but he's also a commissioner. And they both made it possible for me to attend the commission meeting here for juvenile justice, which was wonderful and eye-opening. And one of the things that we talked about during that time, Gary and Rick and I, was about the database and starting to look at that and raising that as a bigger issue. Because a couple of states have now adopted that. After the conference, Gary sent me wonderful materials on that I haven't had a chance to really dig into yet.
Okay.
But that's something that we don't have a database. Now let me go back to how do people find out. First of all, military members, when they bring their children to schools, they can offer that information. Now most school districts won't note that officially. We don't have any official state collection way to do that. But they might make a note. They might simply make a note to the counselor or to the teacher. And I've seen that happen in school districts where they just take special note. The districts that have high populations, they're considered military impacted districts.
Mm-hmm.
Places like Toma and Sparta in our state that have right. a large military population. I think people would be surprised around here, the number of people in DeForest, McFarland, Dane County. We have a huge population.
In these heavily impacted districts, is there more federal aid to deal with these children, or do they have to deal with them with their regular allotment of state aid and property taxes?
It's typically regular.
That's
okay.
What I thought.
School districts can apply. I'm very proud. We got national attention just recently because Sparta just won a very large national grant. That's for military impacted schools.
Okay.
And so there are monies available, but typically you have to go and seek those monies out. There's formulas, you know, and we wouldn't typically meet the formulas. Places like, you know, that are right off bases in Texas, where some of the largest bases in the world are based,
mm-hmm.
or in California and San Diego. Those schools would automatically be, you know, in that pot. But we aren't automatically because our kids are scattered throughout the state.
Okay.
So
I've only got a couple questions because time's slipping away.
Regrettably.
Are there special programs that deal with the tragic events when a parent is injured or tragically killed in the military?
Yes. First of all, in our state,
you get involved in those?
I do if needed. Okay. And probably my role, it's not a personal type of a contact. It's to make sure that the counselors in those school districts,
okay.
And that's another thing. Doug White and Greg Curtis at the DPI have just been such allies and advocates because they have really, really ensured that counselors are very aware of the compact and of the number of military children and the types of things that they face. I also mentioned to you, we've hosted three trainings from Military Child Education Coalition that were designed primarily for counselors to help them prepare those children. I wanted to mention one other thing. You know, you were talking about kids at risk. The other thing that there's been a lot of studies done, and they've been done nationally, is that we find that children that are in the military, or their families are in them, are more resilient.
Okay.
Yeah.
More able to bounce back.
More able to bounce back.
Challenge and mm-hmm. things like that.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by the student who was a senior in Wisconsin when she moved to a state that you won't name. I respect that. How did you hear about this?
She actually her school district, Kenosha, actually contacted me and said, we have the student, you know, can you get in touch with the student? And she and I then got in touch with each other, and then I got in touch with the commissioner in that state, then I got in touch with what's called the SLO, the school liaison officers. Ours is Becky Wally up at Toma. And so we have had an ongoing conversation between all of those people, and Kenosha has kept their fingers in the pot because they certainly want to support this child because she progressed very successfully.
Are you going to win that one, Shelley?
I think, yes, I will. Yes,
okay.
Yeah, exactly. Could I mention one more thing?
Please do.
I just wanted to mention that we have so many marvelous resources that I shared with you, and they are on the Wisconsin DPI site. Is all you have to go to is DPI Military Children,
right.
And it'll take you not only to our state resources, but
DPI Military Children?
Yes, and it'll take you to national resources.
Okay, maybe final question. What's the most satisfying part of your job?
Oh, I love helping people. I love helping people. And you just asked me one. When I see a success story like that, and I see a child move ahead, when a parent calls me and said, oh, I actually got this call, and it's not one you get a lot, you know, because once their problem is solved, they're on their way to wherever, Germany or Japan or wherever it might be. But a parent called me back, and she said, boy, Wisconsin knows how to do it right.
Mm.
And, oh, you know, that phone call will keep me going for years.
The other side of that, though, is perhaps the most frustrating part of your job.
Most frustrating is probably the situation right now that I'm dealing with is when a state that is part of the compact is not following the law. That's frustrating, and it's frustrating when sometimes the person who answers the phone mm-hmm. is not well informed and they give a parent wrong information.
Okay.
And that adds so much stress to a military family. But there are so many joys.
Well, I understand, but is there any stigma to being a child whose parents are in the military? I hope the answer is no.
I would say no. I think a great deal of pride.
Okay. That's great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Shelley Joan Weiss is the Wisconsin Commissioner for the Education of Military Children. Shelley, fascinating discussion. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Stephen, for having me. I sure appreciate it.
Thanks.